Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Texas is in a double bonus from this point forward. He misses the second, and Xavier's got it. Texas trying to get to him. 2 seconds, and there's the knockout punch. And the Xavier Musketeers scrapping their way to a Friday night first round date with Illinois.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan on this Total Request Thursday. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw behind the glass. You just heard the final calls from the last first four games last night. Good ones, too, especially the nightcap. The Xavier win courtesy of True TV. The real games get started today.
Yeah, noon today. Now, Cordell's back. Hey, Nolan, you got to listen to this. You know, because he was off, he went to, where'd you go for the bachelor party?
I was in Cancun.
Cancun. And he's been out sick. He got back Monday, and he's been out sick since Monday.
Hmm.
You know, and you had a lot of tequila, right?
I had a lot of tequila.
A lot of tequila.
A lot of tequila.
And I think the, you know, he had a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Weather was great.
It was excellent.
The scenery was
fantastic.
So it was worth it.
Oh, it was worth it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just still in the recovery phase.
You're getting the picture why all these athletes go there when their season's over. It's why Cancun is the spot to be.
Dude, I came back sounding like Darth Vader. Like it's crazy right now. So yeah, I'm. You know, it doesn't sound great for radio, but I'm here.
Hey, Nolan, here's what I told him to do. When you go to those types of places, because I went down to one of those places in Jamaica, and what I learned was, as soon as you get there, you tip the bartender like $100 or two. So I told Cordell, tip the bartender, because you know what? You could be at the back of the line, and he sees you.
Yep.
Cordell, what do you need? Come on up, you know.
And that's what happened. And honestly, that's probably a part of the reason why I'm in the state that I'm in today.
Now, are we talking swim up bar?
Oh, yeah. We're talking everything.
Everywhere.
Bars everywhere. Swim up bar, beach bar.
All right, Cordell. There's a lot of spring breakers there, too, right?
It was a lot of spring breakers.
So, like, Penn State girls were there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are the swimsuits like nowadays?
What are you doing? You're getting this
Don't
guy
get me
in trouble.
Don't get me in trouble.
Well, it's your bachelor party, right? You know,
I mean, the swimsuits are nice.
There's not a lot to them.
they were nice.
Are they
were nice.
Two
right.
piece or one piece?
It depends on the you know who you are, but swimsuits will always be in style. Let's say that. No matter what era we're in, swimsuits will always be in style. But today is, in my opinion, one of the best days in sports, you know, because you get the start of the tournament. Obviously,
Nolan, see how you want to change that subject that? Real quick?
I did that. I did change the subject. But
well, you know, Rashawn will be calling later.
Well, Rashawn has seen more than me. Rashawn travels more than I do. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's seen plenty when he gets out of town. But, yeah, I do love today because it's basketball all day. You got great games all day. We had the first four in over the last 2 days. Like I said, Xavier, 86-80 win over Texas last night in the 11 seed games. And that was a huge comeback from Xavier last night. American, they fall to Mount St. Mary's, but, you know, and I'll be with Jimmy Patsos tomorrow. I know he'll have plenty to talk about with that. But
you won't have to talk much tomorrow.
No, and that's fine. I'm right there to be support for Jimmy. I'm there to support him. But I am ready for today. The game start around noon, 12:30, something like that. But I love today because even before I was working in sports, I would go to work just to watch these games.
Well, they said this is like these days, no work gets done.
Oh, no. The productivity.
No. Yeah, from noon until whenever, because they go all day long, all day, all night.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's why it's nice working in this business. I mean, you get the best of both worlds. I mean, we're working, not really.
And we got three TVs.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not missing anything. Yeah. We're not missing anything today. But, of course, Maryland, they're in action tomorrow night. And, you know, a lot going on these days with Maryland before the tournament even starts.
Yeah.
You don't have to look very far to see what's going on in terms of rumors around Coach Willard potentially bolting to Villanova. That seems to kind of be picking up steam as the days go on. I don't know what to think anymore. I know money talks at every level, but especially at the collegiate level. And the fact that this hasn't been debunked or anything yet. Yep. It's making people think that there's legs to this. And from everything that I'm reading and to even people that have talked to me about it, it does seem like this could be a real thing.
Yeah. And I've been through, you know, a situation like when I was at the University of Minnesota, Lou Holtz was the coach, and the rumors all the time were, you know, he's a candidate for Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame. You know, and that's all you hear all the time. You know, and Lou would be always, you know, like he would be like, I haven't spoken to Notre Dame, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, what he said after was, you know, like his son Skip was going to Notre Dame at that time. And he says, you know, it just so happened that Father Joyce was calling him every week to kind of let him know how Skip was doing in school, you know. So officially he hadn't talked to him. He was just getting information about his son. But if Villanova wants Willard and they're talking, they're negotiating, you know, I mean, there is a lot of backdoor deals getting done right now. And then the other one that you guys were talking about with Damon Evans, the athletic director, he may be going to SMU.
And rumors, that, rumblings. That's
well,
all the,
you know,
and we're completely in the dark here. I mean, we know as much as the people listening. Jeff Ehrman from Inside Maryland Sports is going to join us at 11. We're supposed to have Damon today.
Right.
At 11.
And Damon, for some reason today, texted, oh, I can't make it today. Okay. Right. You know, I mean, that doesn't help.
No. And it's just terrible timing. And that's kind of where I'm at with everything. You know, Maryland's got their best seed entering a tournament here in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
All the hype, everything about this team, people with Final Four projections for this team. And now you get this. It's just a dark cloud hanging over everything. And I'm not saying it's going to be an excuse for the team or that they're going to get blown out tomorrow and get upset as a result. But it just doesn't help. It's a bad look.
Well, the best thing for the team is they're in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Away from all the noise.
Well, I mean, you still read about it, you know. Right, about to say, I mean, is it on Twitter and
it's
all
everywhere.
That kind of
It's on Twitter for sure.
Yeah, so the players, you know, the players, and he's probably had to deny it to his team. Or, you know, the team's like, they're all leaving too. You know, hey, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, like Queen, he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be in the NBA next year. Coach, you do what you want to do, man.
Nah, that's, I mean, both of you guys, I'm kind of with both of you. Like Nolan said, it's poor timing because it's at the start of the tournament. this shouldn't be at the forefront of the news cycle for the team. But like you said, I don't have any concern about the team going out there and laying an egg, because what do they care? They're gone after this year anyway, pretty much most of them. I mean, I think
they're going to play hard. That dude took the job the day after they didn't get in the NCAA tournament. You don't think he was talking Indiana for weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, my thing would be, okay, let's just say, worst case, Damon leaves, Willard leaves. Who's hiring a coach, and when do you hire a coach, and who do you hire?
Right, you're already behind the ball. It's just worst case scenario.
Yeah, it's not an ideal situation. What is ideal is is Maryland beating Grand Canyon tomorrow.
Now, what do you know about Grand Canyon, Cordell?
I know it's a huge crater. I mean, that's about as far as it could not. But their basketball team, I mean, you know, when you're in the tournament, it's this field of 64, 65. I mean, we've seen Grand Canyon play over the years. I don't know a lot about their team this year. I already put Maryland in like ink to win that game. I think Maryland is a Sweet 16 team. But I just think the good thing for them is that this is that time of year where you have no choice but to block out all that extra noise.
We'll see what happens. It's you know, and you don't want to get too down here, because again, a lot could change between now and tomorrow. They still play tomorrow afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Vinny's right. I mean, look, these guys have been focused all year. You know, you've been playing in the Big Ten. It's as high leverage as it gets. You know, you're sitting right here with a golden opportunity. Are you going to let some of this outside noise impact you? Stuff that really doesn't affect you at all? I mean, even a Julian Reese, who's given so much to this program for the last 4 years, this is his last ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's motivation enough right there. I mean, you don't know when your last game's going to be. It could be tomorrow, Sunday, next week. We don't know. I mean, we're just trying to ride this out.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Who do you got winning, Colorado State or Memphis? Because that's who they would play.
I got Colorado State because I don't trust Memphis. You can't trust Penny Hardaway teams. And I love Penny as a player. And I think he's a great recruiter, too. But his Memphis teams lay eggs like nobody's business. I just can't trust Memphis. That's just me, though.
I think I picked Colorado State, but maybe that was more wishful thinking, that the Terps would get an easier pass to the Sweet 16.
I think the Terps could dominate either of them.
I think it's fine either way.
Yeah.
But then you'd have Florida, probably.
Florida is where it ends.
Yeah.
Florida is where it ends. I think Florida's going to win it all. That's in my bracket, at least. Spoiler alert.
I got, you know who I got beat in Florida? St. John's.
That could happen. St. John's play as tough as anybody out there, and they've got the coach that puts the fear of God in them. So, I mean, I'm sure.
You know what I liked his comment was, he says, NIL money? He said, hey, if I got to go on a street corner and sell hot dogs to get NIL money, I'd do it.
Right,
you don't think he's getting a ton of NIL money in New York City? Woo!
The legitimacy of that, I don't want to get into it. But you know what I mean? I like, and the
we
the
know
committee.
The history. We know the history.
Well, hey, did you see the stat yesterday or whatever? What, five of the top eight seeds, the coaches are over 65 years old? How about that?
That's college basketball for you, man. The veteran coaches, they are in it for the long haul. They know how to navigate these waters. So I'm not even surprised
cool
by that. And
what's cool with those guys is they've learned how to adapt to, you know, the new system and, you know, paying players and doing all that. I give them a lot of credit.
Right. And you don't think the committee didn't have that in mind with this, you know, first round scheduling here? You know, St. John's taking on Omaha as the 2:15 matchup, but your 7:10 pairing there. Oh, how about Kansas and Arkansas? Bill Self and Calipari. So they're thinking there, oh, great second round matchup with Patino versus another legendary coach. Yeah, it's at the forefront of everyone's mind.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, let's switch gears, talk some Orioles. Kobe Mayo, he was sent to AAA Norfolk the other day. He had some words pertaining to how he felt about being sent back down. We'll talk about that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Next here on The Fan. Send in your favorite songs to the text line. Nolan, he'll play them. Also, send in your votes for featured artists Friday. We'll announce that on the back end of today's show. Coming up next at 10:30, we'll get to Vinny's first draft profile of today. We'll look at Jahar Campbell. Look and see what Vinny has in his notepad about him. But right now, we're talking some Orioles baseball. Kobe Mayo, he was sent back to Norfolk the other day, and he wasn't happy about it. He told reporters that, quote, he feels like it's a kind of a lose-lose going to Norfolk. He says, obviously, you go back there, and if you have success, it's, oh, he's supposed to have success because he's already proven it. And if he doesn't have success, it's, oh, well, obviously, he's falling off. So I guess there were fans or people reacting to it that felt like Mayo had said something wrong, and Mayo was pushed to yesterday put out an apology for that, saying that, you know, as a competitor, this has lit a fire in me, and I will make sure I work even harder to get back to the big leagues and help the team win games as soon as possible. I will never settle for anything less than the best version of myself. But he did apologize for his comments that he made to the media. Do you guys think he needed to apologize for that?
Probably so. You know, just because sounded kind of immature about it, you know, and it was a reactionary thing. You know, probably didn't think before he talked. So just a frustration type thing. And those are the types of things where you go talk to Hyder, you go talk to a lot, you talk to them one-on-one. And I'm sure that's probably what the veteran guys probably told him. He said, listen, that's not the way, you know, to handle those kind of things. And I'm sure Elias probably told him the same thing. Best thing to do is just come see me. You know, we can handle it one-on-one. Then it doesn't get out to the media, you know, and then you got to go do all this stuff. And then the media, all they want to do is talk to you, you know, and it's a distraction. Let me just say that. It's a distraction.
And we did push back on it a little bit yesterday. We didn't necessarily agree with what he had to say, but we understood the whole time it was from frustration. I mean, this is this guy's career. You know, he's the one out there putting in all the work. So you get it. It's understandable. It's not like it came out of nowhere. And I don't think he's the first Orioles prospect to display that frustration. No. So probably won't be the last if they keep having this much success cultivating prospects and keep having this quality of a team with a logjam. But I think by him apologizing, it just puts it to bed. Like, now you move on. You know, it's not lingering anymore. It's over. It's done with. If there was any doubt that it was just an offhanded, frustrated comment, I mean, it was like 15 minutes after he found out that he wasn't, you know, he's getting sent back down and now he's answering questions about it, you know, tea to the moment. And now we're moving on. So I think there's really nothing else here.
The only thing I would say about that is, and we talked about it yesterday, this kid from every media person that talked and that was down there or whatever, and Elias, he had no shot at making a team, you know? So, I mean, are you shocked? You know, why is he shocked that he got released? That you could have batted 500 and you were going down.
Well, I don't think he had no shot. I think his chances were slim, though. And I think for him, I never have a problem with a player being frustrated because they want more for themselves. You want that. You don't want him to be okay with being sent back down. And also, I think he looks at the landscape of the team and realizes it's pretty much now or never for him. And not saying that if he doesn't break camp with the team, then he won't ever play here in Baltimore. But more so this year as a whole, it's like Coby Mayo, I think, has to show something at the major league level for the Orioles this season, at least in the first half, because he could be a guy who has who's a hot name at the trade deadline. So I understand his frustration. I didn't think he needed to apologize, to be honest with you. I was okay with it. But I do understand him being frustrated and wanting to get out there. He's kind of the last of the last in AAA right now. So he's like seeing all his guys up there at the major league level. He wants to get there. And he's right. He's checked all the boxes at AAA. Other than maybe defensively, that's probably the last remaining box for him. But offensively, he's gotten, if he goes down there and he's not raking, then that's a problem. So he didn't lie. When he says, if I go back and I kill it, they're saying, well, he should have already done that. And if I go back and I don't knock the ball out of the park, it's, oh, well, this guy isn't ready. Like, he's not lying about it. But, yeah, something should be kept internally. But I don't mind him feeling the way that he feels.
Well, the thing about it, too, is it's not as bad. You know, I mean, that's not what's holding him back.
Right,
it's the defense.
Right.
You know, so The thing is he knew what he had to improve upon. And I gave yesterday an analogy, like, all right, like Holiday wasn't great at second base last year. So what did he do in the offseason? He worked his ass off all offseason, you know, and now he's comfortable, confident at second base. All right, now Mayo, you know, you need work at third base and first base. So did you work your ass off where, like, people could see a different Coby Mayo, you know, and maybe for him to get better defensively, you got to work on your feet. You know, you got to work on your athleticism, that type of stuff, to get quicker and everything. You know, not about your glove, it's about your lower body, your feet, you know, and your change of direction and all those things. And I haven't seen him, you know, I mean, I wouldn't know him if he walked across the street, you know, so I don't know how he's done defensively.
And the only thing, Tim mentioned it yesterday, and it was a good point, that you know, the Orioles really haven't given him a lot of playtime at first base, or really anywhere this spring, but specifically at first, because third, I mean, where's his future at third? Right. I mean, that's just, that feels like a dead end. Even if he should or would show some capability there, I feel like there's a much clearer path for him if he's going to stay with the Orioles and play on the major league roster. It would be at first base. And it just goes back to the point, like what Vinny was saying, this is the situation you're in. This didn't come out of nowhere. You knew this the entire time, and defense can't be secondary. Mm-hmm. At no point during the Elias or Hyde regime, even when they were bad, to when they're competitive, they have been very consistent in their messaging the entire time. We heavily value defense. That is a big deal for us. If you can't play defense, if you don't have a defined role there, it's going to be hard to get you in the lineup. And it's playing out here with Mayo. You could see the same thing with Kerstad. Outfield logjam was a part of that equation too, just a deep roster. But he also had some questions around his defense in the outfield. That didn't help his case. If he was a more capable defender, I think he probably would have got more opportunities sooner, and the same could be said for Mayo.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. We'll start to take some of your calls. We'll also get to our first of two draft profiles from Vinny. We'll look at Jahad Campbell. That's next here on The Fan.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney, Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Three-man rush. Beck surveys. Throws it right to Alabama. It's picked up by Jahad Campbell. A disastrous turnover just when the Dogs had momentum. The second for Beck tonight.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw, he's behind the glass. We're giving you our first of two draft profiles today. This one, Jahad Campbell.
Yeah, Jahad Campbell out of Alabama.
And that audio was courtesy of ESPN, by the way.
6'3", 235, ran 4.52 at the combine. Ran a 1.53.10, which is excellent. 32 and a half arms. Okay, not great. 10 and a half hand. Five-star recruit out of IMG Academy his senior year. He's from New Jersey and then transferred down there. Now, at the combine, and this is one of the most important things at the combine other than the interviews, is the physical. And he got hurt like late in the year or whatever, and he got he had a torn labrum, and he had surgery right after the combine. So he's in the recovery rehab phase right now, and Alabama had their pro day yesterday, and he did nothing, of course. So what is it, like 6 months maybe? So, you know, you take him, he'll miss a little. He's going to miss training camp and everything else. So it'll be interesting to see how much he drops because of that. But he's a junior, jersey 11. He had a 10-7 broad jump. 2022, freshman year, 9 games as a reserve. He had 1 tackle. 2023, he had 8 starts, 66 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 1 interception, 3 PBUs. And in this past year, first team all SEC, started all 13 games, 117 tackles, 11.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 PBUs. Now, he was predominantly for Alabama a inside linebacker. Nowadays, they call him an off-ball linebacker. And, you know, for people that don't know, plays like where Roquan Smith plays. All right. But then in past situations, at times, they lined him up on the edge. Now, his strengths, he's got size, he's got speed, he's got a good burst, versatile. He can take on from the inside linebacker position. He uses his hands well. Good job taking on in space. Athletic, fluid hips, good change of direction, moves well laterally, explosive, good fundamental tackler, rolls his hips. He's got speed to go sideline to sideline. Good in coverage, also man-to-man coverage. He can bend the corner. Good takeoff. Excellent first step. Good lockout in pass rush. He does not stay blocked. Strong lower body. Good instincts inside. He can find the ball quickly. Good job dropping in coverage and reading the quarterback. Explosive blitzer. Coverage instincts are excellent. Muscular build. Weakness, needs more pass rush moves. Gets high some. He's very raw and lacks experience as a rusher. Inconsistent on taking on blockers. In summary, I said, this kid makes a lot of plays. Plays mostly inside. Good athlete. Runs well. Will need to take on better, but he's good in coverage and excellent blitzer. I think he could develop into a very good pass rusher. Will need some work on moves. Has speed and bend. Like the potential as a rusher with limited reps. For the Raven, starts at inside backer on early downs, then rushes on nickel and dime situations, and he's got positional versatility. I really like this guy. And to be totally honest, like Jalen Walker is like similar type kid from Georgia who plays inside backer and rushes, but he's 6'1". And he is not a great instinctive inside linebacker. He's better as a rusher, but he's just small. Whereas this kid, 6'3", 235 pounds. And I think he's got a chance to be a really good... I mean, if the Ravens took him... How about this, Cordell? For them, you know, if... But he's projected to go like top 15 or whatever, but maybe because of the shoulder, he would drop down to 27. How about this? You line him up, you know, on first downs and stuff. You line up Campbell next to Roquan, you know, and this dude's 6'3", 235, runs 4.5. And then in passing situations, you know, you get him with Chuck Smith and you teach him how to rush the passer, and then he could be their best pass rusher by the time it's all said and done, too. I love him as a potential pass rush guy. And you're kind of getting the double dip guy. You're getting, you know, you're getting a position of need at inside linebacker and a position of need as pass rusher. That's why I really like Jahad Campbell. In all the projections, he's not going to be there at 27, but I think everybody just found out about the torn labrum. And the Ravens may be a team that, because you're good enough and have enough players, that, you know, you could wait on him, you know.
Would you be okay with that again for the Ravens? We've seen them do it a couple of times over the last few years with some of the pass rushers.
This is just a shoulder. And I just think that this guy's got elite, potential elite pass rush.
I'm looking at a mock draft here from Chris Trapasso from CBSSports.com that he put out yesterday. He does have Jahad Campbell going at 27, but not to the Ravens. He has the Ravens doing a trade with the Rams to acquire the 35th overall pick in the second round, 2 third-round picks as well, all for this year from the Rams, for so that the Rams would draft Jahad Campbell.
Well, he kind of qualifies as one of the things that the Ravens like, Alabama players. So I was talking to Mel yesterday because Mel called me. He said, how long does it take, you know, for torn labrum? And I think I said, I think it's like 5 months, you know. So it was, say, February, March, April, May, June. You know, he may be ready in July or August, you know. But I don't know if I'm the Ravens and at 27, I'm going to trade back and let the Rams have him, where I could have a guy to line up next to Queen and also eventually could be my best pass rusher. You know, that would be an interesting, that would be a tough pass for me.
Yeah. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll switch gears, talk some Terps basketball. Terps on the court tomorrow at 4:35 against Grand Canyon. We'll preview that game. And, of course, Jeff Ehrman joins us at 11. That's next here on The Fan. Coming up at 11, we'll be joined by Jeff Ehrman from Inside Maryland Sports. Talk about that game tomorrow against Grand Canyon as Maryland gets their tournament hopes underway tomorrow and hopes to maybe take it all the way to the Final Four and beyond. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. And the Terps, they're on the court at 4:35 tomorrow against the 13 seed Grand Canyon. This is pretty, I don't see a scenario. I mean, look, let me not say that because it's March. I don't want to jinx anybody. But this is a game that I do feel like the Terps should come out winning. And look, people have kind of talked about all the buzzer beaters that the Terps have lost on. And of course, in the Big Ten tournament, basically another buzzer beater layup in that one to fall to Michigan. And I think that the Terps are going to come out in this game tomorrow, at least trying to run Grand Canyon off the floor. I expect that to be the case. I think they're going to be aggressive offensively. I think that defensively they're going to do what they always do, switch it up. They'll go to different zones. They'll put pressure on Grand Canyon. But I do not see – I don't anticipate the Terps losing this game tomorrow.
Well, plus, supposedly, you know, from listening to people talk about Grand Canyon, Cordell, is they don't have a lot of height inside. So, I mean, to me, go back to the Illinois game plan, you know, and just pound it inside. And you said it yesterday, Nolan, that, you know, Reese and Queen should dominate this game.
Right. I mean, that would be start the game.
Yeah.
Every possession down the court, I'm feeding one of those guys, if not getting the ball in both of their hands, seeing which guy likes their look better. I mean, we've seen this Terps team be lights out from three at times, but I'd prefer not to get into that kind of game early on. And Grand Canyon, I mean, just trying to read around, find out what they do well, what's a strength. They do play fast, so there is that. But I don't think the Terps are a team that you really run off the court in terms of tempo. If anything, Maryland should be dictating the pace themselves as the, you know, the favored team.
Yeah, and what I'm excited to see is, you know, who's going to take their game to the next level on this team. And of course, Derek Queen is the easy answer because – you know, I think he's played his definitely. I think he's a lottery pick at this point. But where? Who knows? This is the time of year where you start to boost that draft stock. And he can play in a variety of different ways. He could play at any tempo. This is the type of time where Derek Queen should be imposing as well. Like you said, if they're small, and I'm going to take your word for it because I haven't seen a single Grand Canyon game all year. But I know how they stack up in the Big Ten, and I'm sure they'll be able to hold their weight against those guys.
The thing I would like Queen to do is play both ends of the court. You know, against Michigan, you know, I mean, his defensive performance was not great. Offensively, was phenomenal, you know, but defensively, you know, and Reese needs to play better than he played against Michigan. Reese needs to level up for the tourney, you know, because he was kind of non-existent in the Michigan game.
Yeah, I think defense would probably be my team-wide key tomorrow. And, I mean, let's actually, if you think about it, maybe another advantage for Grand Canyon. They've been to three straight tournaments now, so they've retained a good chunk of their roster has been here before. They haven't made a deep tournament run. They've always been the underdog, a higher seed. But look at this Maryland roster. Julian Reese, I mean, Geronimo. Other than that, I don't think there's many guys on here that have been in a tournament atmosphere. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but let's say early on in the game, the bright lights, the moment maybe gets to Maryland a little bit. They don't start as hot offensively. We've seen that at times from them, but what has been their strength this year, even when they're in a shooting slump, their defense carries them through. And even if a team makes a run, starts to pull away, they could be up double digits at one point. Maryland's defense is always stingy enough that allows them to stay in any game possible. So I would say tomorrow, Maryland should be the aggressor, but in the event that an upset looks like it's on the horizon, their defense should be able to carry them through.
Yeah, it should. And I think, you know, looking at a guy like Jacoby Gillespie, I want him to, you know, dictate the pace, get guys involved. Hopefully his shot is falling, but if it's not, that shouldn't be the end-all, be-all for his contributions tomorrow. And you never really know what type of day it's going to be for any guard, especially when guards that live on the perimeter. But as long as he's getting guys involved, I think they'll be fine. I think over time, Maryland will start to impose their will. I think they'll start forcing some turnovers. They will start to get out and run. And I think that's when they'll probably put the game to bed.
Oh, especially if they're hitting those threes. Not Queen, but the guard.
Right.
If the guards are hitting the threes, you know, I think then Maryland gets really dangerous.
And you joke about Queen there, but, I mean, it's serious. You know, shot selection is key here. This Terps team has really found a rhythm. They know what each of their teammates do well. They've passed the ball extremely well this year. And they have five scoring-capable players. But it hasn't really been like a fight for the ball type of thing this year. Everyone's gotten their looks. Everyone's gotten their touches and a chance to score. However, there have been moments, Selton, Miguel, Gillespie, guilty of it, where they're not shooting that hot. Maybe they start the game 0-for-3, 0-for-4 from beyond the arc, and they try to shoot themselves out of it. You guys aren't the only scoring options on the team. There's other capable people. If it's not your day, if it's not your night, so be it. Pass the ball. We'll get out of here with a win, and maybe Sunday's your day. I mean, don't shoot yourself out of a game here because you want to be selfish or prove to yourself that, you know, you can be the hero in a tournament game.
And that's the good thing for them. They do have options, and all along they're starting five. And if it's not going to be Rice, then maybe it'll be Gillespie. If it's not going to be Queen, it'll be Reese, you know. So definitely trust your teammates. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Jeff Ehrman from Inside Maryland Sports. Get his thoughts on tomorrow's game. That's next here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.